And I am more than happy to introduce our first speaker, and that is Lisa.
Lisa, alcoholic. Don't look at me. This is the absolute worst part about AA. Standing up here speaking. My sobriety date is September 15th of 2009. I have a sponsor that has a sponsor that has a sponsor, and I see the first two of those every week in a meeting so I can be held accountable. Prior to my sobriety date, I was a daily drinker. I drank morning, noon, and night, and I was physically, my body was physically addicted to alcohol. If I started to come down or not have alcohol in my system, I would get the shakes, I would throw up, I would, it wasn't pretty. So I was a swollen sausage. I was retaining, it was literally pickled. I could not go a day without drinking. I was the mom that drove drunk with her kids in the car every single day. I drove my kids to school drunk with a cocktail in my car at 7:30 in the morning to school. Sometimes I was still passed out when it was time to pick them up from school, and so the schools would call me wanting to know if I was picking up my kids. And so I would pass out, pick them up, go back, continue to drink. And mind you, at this time, I was living on a concrete slab in an actual trailer with full hookups on my father's property. I was driving a vehicle that was owned and registered by my mom. So the day before, I was driving, coming home from a pizza party. The Raiders and the Chargers were playing, and the Raiders lost. Shitty night. So I was coming down the hill, and there was a semi crossing the road, telephone road, if anybody's familiar with the area. And he was parked illegally. He wasn't supposed to be parked like that, but I came down, my 10-year-old son in the passenger seat, my 8-year-old daughter in the back seat. And for whatever reason, as I was coming down and I looked, I was gonna, in my mind, go around it. So I turned left, and I still hit the back of the semi. But if I would have continued and not swerved, all three of us would have been decapitated. We would have been dead. So I don't know. You know, I ran through my mind after the fact, kind of like we do, is if I would have left 5 minutes later, or if I would have left 5 minutes earlier, that truck wouldn't have been there. But the fact is, you know, it took what it took to get me here, and it's a pretty bad thing. You know, I went to jail and I was charged with felony DUI, child endangerment, and you know, towards the end of my drinking, I would tell myself daily, you know, you can't do this anymore. Something bad's going to happen. You can't keep doing this. And I knew something was going to happen. I knew I was either going to get pulled over and get a DUI, or I was going to get into an accident. Unfortunately, I got into the accident. The car was owned by my mom. She was sued by that trucking company because that car belonged to her. If I wasn't drinking, she would have been, you know, he would have been in the fault. But since I was drunk, my mom was sued. And so I spent my little stint in jail. And, you know, when I just spent the night at the county here, and my brother picked me up, he was taking me back to the trailer, and it took me a long time to share this because it's pretty messed up, but it kind of just shows where alcoholism took me. You know, he was taking me back to my trailer, and the first thing I did when I got there, I wasn't asking where my kids were. I wasn't asking if my kids were okay. Hi, Vinny.
Hi.
I went straight to the freezer to see if my vodka bottle was there. And because I was shaking so bad, I had blood all over me. I was shaking. So when the vodka bottle was gone, I knew that this is it. I'm done. I mean, I have to do something. And my mom didn't live here at the time, so my dad kind of stepped up. They got me into a rehab in Santa Barbara. I spent 28 days there. And my main goal when I got there was to, hopefully, I did not have to serve any jail time. That was all I kept thinking about, was I didn't want to go to jail. Well, I ended up having to serve, you know, they sentenced me to 90 days. I did a really hard 11 days, right, Al? Hard 11 days. But at the time, my second ex-husband was a CO, and he and his new wife, she was a CO too, and they worked in there, and they helped me. You know, it was humbling. It was humiliating. I had to be protected, because if they knew that I was married to him, shit happens in there. And so I did my time. I got out. I had a sponsor before I went in, and I had that sponsor for the first 3.5 years of my sobriety. And she relapsed. She relapsed when I was 3.5 years sober. And when that happened, it kind of rocked everything for me. Like, yeah, this AA stuff really is a bunch of bullshit. Because if she can go out, then anybody can go out. And it took a little bit of time for me to work through that and to realize, you know, her and I, we were really tight, and we were like best friends. And we did a lot of stuff together outside of AA. But the bottom line is we were co-signing each other's bullshit. If it's raining outside, you really want to go to that meeting? It's raining. No. All right, let's go to the next one. Are you going to go to this one? Well, I'll go if you go. You know, just that kind of stupid. So so she relapsed, and so I immediately got a new sponsor. And those of you that know Suzanne, I immediately asked Suzanne to be my sponsor, and we met here the next day. And we talked outside, and she said, "Are you willing to go to any lengths?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Okay, we're going to the solving meeting, speaker meeting tonight, and we're going to go to dinner first, and we'll pick you up." And I said, "Well, anything but that. I'm not willing to do that." And I had to tell her that I was asked to speak at that meeting that night, and I lied and told the girl that I was out of town and I couldn't speak. So we went to the solving speaker meeting, and I told the girl, you know, I lied to you. I told you I was going to be out of town, and because I hate speaking. And she said, "Oh, that's great. So we'll have you, and you can come back in a couple weeks and speak." So I had to speak anyway. So now I have after that, I pulled away from AA. I didn't want to. I don't know what it was. I think it was a lot of the fact that my first sponsor relapsed, and I just wasn't into it. And I pulled away, and I stayed away for about 3 years. I didn't drink, but I may as well have, because life was not fun for my kids during that time. So I was a screaming, raging, sober person. And for me, I need recovery. I can't just have sobriety, and I prove that to myself by being out those 3 years. Just being sober doesn't work. So I got back in. I got back involved. I have a new sponsor. I worked the 12 steps again, and I stay very close, and I take a lot of commitments. I have some amazing, incredible people that I surround myself with, and I have a sponsor today that calls me out on my shit. She texted me yesterday and said, "We need to meet." And so we met this morning before a women's meeting. And she pointed out to me that, asked me about what my deal is with prayer and God. So here I am 14 years in, and I'm still struggling with this. And so she told me This is the kind of sponsor you want to have, people. She told me, when you share about that, you put your chin up and act like you're better than. And I was like, oh, okay. And so before she said that, she goes, you're probably not going to like what I have to say, and you're probably going to be mad at me. And so when she tells me that before she says something, I perk up, because I immediately know this is when you're supposed to have the willingness, this is when you're supposed to listen, and this is when you're supposed to take direction. And so I perk up, and I told her that, and she says, keep your chin down, kid. And I'm like, okay. So we went over a few things, and we addressed a few things, and I told her, I don't mean it that way. I think it's more, it's fear for me. And for me, praying and talking to God, which I did when we left the coffee place and went to the meeting, I was talking out loud. You guys have never done that before. And I said out loud that this is uncomfortable for me. I don't know what to say. I feel like I'm doing this wrong. And I was just brutally honest, because I want to stay sober more than anything. And so thank God I stayed. Thank God I have the sponsor that I have. I have the people in my life that I have. These kids that were 8 and 10 are now 23 and 25. And they are the most incredible adults and the most incredible human beings. And it's not by my doing, it's Alcoholics Anonymous that helped me raise these kids. And I say this all the time, because I see new mothers come in and I see them with their kids and their small children, and I know it's hard, and I know it's hard to find that balance. But if you stay, you will be amazed at the human beings that Alcoholics Anonymous can help you raise. It's a gift. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm back in recovery. I'm grateful for the sponsor that I have. I'm grateful for the sponsees that I have. It is now your turn, Kevin.